Hello, how are you? I'm good, I'm fine, I'm singing in the Holy Ghost.
Hi guys!
Welcome to Minister Lisa Podcast. My name is Elizabeth Akwinyili. And if you're listening to me for the first time, I am a sex therapist and a fashion stylist. On this podcast, I help Christians show up audaciously in the area God has called them to be. So this season of the podcast, we're calling it Living Audaciously or Audacious Living, however you prefer the words organized. The bottom line, it shall be audacious is the way you live. You understand? Did you get it? Did you get it? Capish? Okay. I have been talking about what it means to be audacious and how people assume audacity is not a Christian thing. Oh, by the way, I don't do all the teaching on the podcast, so it's not too lengthy. So the podcast is divided into two. On Thursdays, there is an Instagram live session by 7 p.m. where I do the introduction. I do the introduction of the topic, and then I come on the podcast on Friday morning, 5 a.m. and give you more details about the topic. So we had spoken about what it means to be audacious, how audacity is not a Christian thing. And now I'm starting a new topic called how you see yourself. How you see yourself might just be the only reason you're not audacious. It is not the way God sees you. It is not the way other people look at you. It is just the way you see yourself. Just you, by yourself. You are the problem. You are the cause and the effect. Okay, I'm getting too intense. Let me give you a quick story. And then you would understand what I'm talking about. A few weeks ago, I think about 2 months now, a month plus, I had gone to minister in Lagos. Some of the people at the ministration who saw the picture will be able to connect these events together. And when I got to Lagos, like, oh, welcome, blah, blah, blah. They were trying to carry my handbag. I'm like, oh God, this is so strange. I want my handbag to myself. I can handle my handbag. Amen. But I mean, they said it was due process, blah, blah. I think we fought the handbag thing. I got into the VIP lounge. There was sandwich. There was hot tea. There was bottled water. There was apples. I mean, this was good. I go to church to pray. But here I am. And yes, food. Food for my spirit and my body. Amen. Okay. But I remembered being so conscious in that VIP lounge that I couldn't even enjoy being there. And so when the praise worship started, I said it was not in my character, it was not in my person to miss praise worship. I don't care who I am. If I'm in the auditorium, I have to be in praise worship. Praise worship is, I don't like it when I get to church and they've started praise worship before me. It feels like I missed service. I didn't come to church for the word. I came to church for the whole presence. I came to church to be in the presence, to multiply whatever experience I have, to amplify whatever understanding of God I have. So the last thing I want is that when people were raising incense in worship that I was not there. It makes no sense to me. So I come out, as I'm standing there trying to worship, trying to connect and not be distracted by all the things that were still going on around. I felt the Lord say to me that to reject the honor is to reject the level. And this is not your personal revelation, this is mine. To reject the honor was to reject the level, because there was an honor accrued to my level, the level I have just stepped into. And I cannot afford to treat myself the way I used to be treated. I cannot afford to see myself just by my previous experiences. I cannot afford to communicate to myself like I used to communicate to the Lisa I was 5 months ago. I am no longer that person. I have ascended. If you listen to Diary of a Sex Therapist season of this podcast, there was a place where I spoke about ascension and how ascension is the only way you get to forgive yourself. When you ascend a level, you can see the previous level and be like, oh, that's what happened. Oh, okay. It's what people call connecting the dots in hindsight, right? That's what happens. And you're like, oh, it's because I was stupid. Oh, it's because I didn't have so much information. Blah, blah, blah. You're able to make that connection and then you're able to move on, right? Because you've progressed. And when the Lord said that, it dawned on me that in the previous seasons, I won't say season, just season. I feel like there were plenty seasons. I remember one particular one when I was telling my friend that I feel like I'm having transitions within a transition. Because that particular one just kept feeling like, oh, I'm going through. I'm going through. And every day I feel like I've come through. But then it still feels like I'm going through. And that went on for 18 straight months. Right. So I'm looking at this previous seasons of the life I used to know I had, which was like 6 years straight. I was looking back at that life And it dawned on me that throughout those 6 years, regardless of how much I was on stage, I was still at the backstage. At first, I was fighting with being on the backstage because I was the person who was always on stage from as far back as when I was in primary two. I was the child you sent to the teachers when you cannot talk to your teachers. I am the student who used to fail in class but was still friends with the lecturer who owned the courses. Do you get? I was the secondary school student who would tell my physics teacher to his face, "Mr. Alex, I hate your subject." I would tell him to his face and we would still gist. Like, I was that comfortable with being around authority. I can't remember a time in my life where I had a problem with deferring to authority, with connecting with authority. I can't remember a time. And here was this season of my life where God was saying, "Oh, stay behind the scene. Grow. I need you to grow. Because when you come out, you won't have time." And I can notice it. I can see the difference. It's that I don't have like a loving space like I used to. Now I have to do a lot of things. Pa, pa, pa. I have to attend to a lot of people. I have to attend to the teams. And I still have to grow. And so if I had not had built the culture of growing by myself and staying by myself, I'm going to jump on every stage that comes to me. And every stage is not where my anointing needs to be on. Right? And so I'm at this event in Lagos and I'm fighting with even being on stage. But worse than being on stage, I'm fighting with the way people were handling me on stage. Like I was egg and I would break. And God was saying to me that to reject the honor was to reject the level, because the honor comes with the level. For many of us, nobody is dishonoring us. It's just us. And that was what was happening to me. I was dishonorable to myself. It's not because they carried my handbag. Get this straight. It's not about the handbag. It's not about the sandwich. It's not about any of those things. It was the fact that I could not see that God has brought me from the backside and He was beginning to position me in front of people as a leader. He was beginning to position me in front of people as a teacher. As a matter of fact, part of that ascension is this season you're listening to, is the audacious living season. That I now have the nerve to come out and tell people that, "Oh, you can be audacious in the area God has called you to." I can do that because for 5 years consistently, I have stayed in an industry that was not a Christian in quote industry as a sex therapist. I have stayed there for 5 years. There are a lot of things I do not believe I know with faith, with Christianity. But when it comes to God calling you and knowing that He called you, I think I have an idea. I might not have 20 years of experience, but I think I have a few years of experience. I have an idea what it means for God to speak to me. I have an idea what it means for me to doubt God. I have an idea what it means to have a word of prophecy. I have an idea what it means to say something silly and someone will tell you that was an answer. You're like, you say? I have an idea. But God was saying to me in this season, "I don't want you to keep all of this knowledge to yourself. I need you to put it out there. I need you to teach some people. I need you to show some people that they are on the right path." And so if I do not see myself the way God sees me, if I do not see myself in this season, and all I see myself in is the last season, then there's a problem. There's a disconnect. The Bible says we with open faces, okay, now I'm beginning to teach. The Bible says we with open faces beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same image. And so it's important that you are beholding. What you are beholding is important though. It's very important. With open faces beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, not yourself. Not your background, not your traumas, not your addictions, not your health issues, the glory of the Lord. Because as you behold His glory, that's what you become. So if I behold the health of God, the glory of God in healing, I experience healing as opposed to if I focus on the sickness. Okay, this was not even what I wrote in my script, but God have mercy. Do what you want to do. So God looks at Gideon and God sees a man of valor. But all Gideon sees is the guy who is hiding in a cave threshing. Gideon had a choice to step into God's perspective of him as a man of valor or to remain hidden in the cave. And I think that's what today's episode is about. It's about giving you an option. Do you want to stay in the cave? And when I say in the cave, I don't necessarily mean hidden and not being on stage. No, this is not about stage or no stage. Because sometimes stepping out for God looks like locking your doors. I'm being inside. Yes. Sometimes stepping out for God means shutting up your mouth. Sometimes stepping out for God means mentoring just one person. Sometimes stepping out for God means just staying with your Bible. Sometimes stepping out for God means having to sing a song in public, like I had to do when I was in Lagos, because I went to Lagos for spoken word and there was a prophetic song in the house. I heard the song in my spirit and nobody was singing it. So I started singing the song and I went to the host of the event and I asked her, "Ma, can I sing?" She said, "Please go ahead." And I haven't sang in a long time. So there was a part of me that was self-conscious. I was looking at my voice. I was looking at how bad my voice would sound. I was looking at how I won't sing on the key well, but there was a song in the house. There was a prophetic sound in the house. And I had two options. The option to focus on how bad my voice must have been because I haven't used it, or the option to sing the will of God in the house. So I went there and I started singing the song, and the pastor on stage turned and said, "Who is singing that song? Come out." As he said, "Come out," I stood on the altar. I was barefoot. I was singing a song over the people, but it was me who was feeling like I was going to fall down. I came back home and I was giving my younger ones the gist. I said the only thing that kept me from falling on that stage was the fact that if this microphone break... The spirit of the prophet, the subject is the prophet. So, I mean, that helped. But I went through that story again to say to you that you have the option of becoming God's perspective of you, which is a man of valor, or you have the opportunity to stay the way you are, which is in the cave. David stood before Goliath, seeing himself the way God saw him. Seeing himself from the perspective of heaven, knowing, oh, it's not because I'm a big boy. It's just because I have a God. You have defiled the God of hosts. You have defiled the God of angel armies. You have defiled the God of Israel. And so in the name of that God, I come against you. It wasn't because David was a good fighter. Let me show you another part of that story that you possibly haven't paid attention to. Did you know Saul had an opinion about how David was supposed to look? When they told Saul that someone was coming to fight against Goliath, I'm sure Saul was possibly expecting a man who was taller than himself. Remember, the Bible had already described Saul to us, that Saul was head and shoulder higher than everybody. I mean, so when they told Saul that someone was volunteering to fight against the Philistine, I'm sure Saul was expecting a big boy. Then David shows up with no armor and no sword. And a part of Saul is like, "Ha, I feel like saying it in Yoruba, this child wants to go and die." Do you understand? And so Saul was like, at least if he will go, let's even dress him up. Let them not say the king left him to go and die like this. Saul put his armor on David. David could not see himself in the armor. But there was something David could see himself with. Something David had practiced at the back. David could see himself with his sling and stone. What do you see yourself with? What tool is in your hand that the Lord has given you? What season are you in? What is the Lord saying about you? How do you see yourself? Are you in the cave? Or are you going to answer to the Lord that you are a man of valor? Are you going to let people like Saul dress you up in an armor that is not yours? Or would you stand in your place as the guy who is good with sling and stone and has seen the anointing of God upon his sling and stone? Remember, we're talking about living audaciously in the area of our call. David went on over the years to learn how to use swords. David went out over the years to learn how to wear armors and live with them, live in them and fight in them and do all of that. But today, the battle before Goliath is not the day David will practice it. Remember, he has to show up the way God knows him, the way he knows himself, the way he sees himself. He could not see himself in an armor, but he could see himself with a sling and a stone. How do you see yourself? For as long as I felt I was unqualified, my account balance was unqualified. Yes, my income began to change when I began to see myself differently. And I'll tell you one of the stories that changed my perspective of myself financially. It was in 2020 during COVID. Up until COVID, nobody had paid me $500,000 for anything. Nobody. As a matter of fact, up until COVID, I was still doing 30K projects for some people. There were people in my life I considered leaders that I was still doing 30K projects for. And so when they asked me, I'm like, who will pay me? Even if I charge, who will pay me? And if you know me, you know I like education. So I'm always taking courses. I'm in this free webinar. I'm on this class. I'm studying this. I'm studying that. I am always learning. But I was never making profit from it. During COVID, I applied for a job in Uganda. I saw a job in Uganda. And the job was in sexual health, interestingly, because many times, as at 2020, a lot of people were telling me to leave my industry and get a job in another industry, blah, blah, blah. I'm very good with communication. I have experience with branding. I worked in the digital media space actively for like 5 years. Like, go do this other stuff, right? And so during COVID, I was learning to use WordPress. It was during COVID I learned WordPress. So it was like, there are all these opportunities around communication. Go to communication, go, go, go. Like, everybody had an opinion.
Then I saw this job in sexual health. And I looked at the job description. Job descriptions don't scare me. There's hardly any job description that scares me. Like, I can learn it. I'm a learner. I will do the work. That's my problem. And so I looked at the job description like, go. Come on, this is cheap. I could get this done. And normally, I would just go to the qualification and tell myself I am disqualified. I always scroll down. Every time I saw a job, the description didn't bother me. I would always scroll down to qualification and tell myself, I told you you were unqualified. That's how I saw myself. I saw myself as unqualified because I'm transiting from physics education to any other industry. I don't have a degree in communication. I don't have a first degree in psychology. I don't have a first degree in sexology. I don't have a first degree in neuroscience. And so for a long time, I had this defeated mindset that I was unqualified for the things I did, even though there was a period I was spending 4 or 5 hours every night just reading. I didn't have an exam, just for myself. 4 or 5 hours every single night. I was going to bed at 4 a.m. My mom would be worried. She would make me breakfast because she knew I possibly won't eat. I won't remember to eat early and stuff like that. So here I am going to the qualification as usual to go and disqualify myself. And for the first time, I had everything they needed. But that wasn't the icing. The icing was when I got to remuneration and I saw it was in Ugandan shillings. And when I converted it to Nigerian Naira, CBN price, it was between 700,000 to 1 million Naira. I almost ran mad. Are you saying somewhere on this planet, someone can pay me 1 million Naira? And I'm doing 30K projects and even begging them to pay me my money. And some of them were paying me my money in installments. And I still have to say please and thank you. What? And for the first time, it dawned on me that the financial problems I had were not God's fault. As a matter of fact, they were not my client's fault. They were predominantly my fault. When my counseling was 5,000 Naira, my clients paid. When we couldn't manage 5,000 Naira again, it couldn't cover our bills. We raised it to 7,500. Clients paid. And I'm like, wait, they paid? When we raised counseling charge to, was it 10,000 or 15,000 Naira, we went to street so that we can start catering to our team members. Oh my God, people paid. When we raised counseling to 25,000, in fact, that was when we started running a business properly. When our counseling hit 25 to 35,000, that's when we started running a business. Because for the first time, that was the time we could afford to pay for our technical connections. That was the time we could afford to pay for our communications. That was the time we could afford to pay. We hadn't even... Guys, the income you would even make is based on how you see yourself. The way you will dress is based on how you see yourself. The way you will show up in the area God has called you to is dependent on how you see yourself. God sees you and he sees a man of valuable. Who do you see? In the prayer album that is coming out soon, I've been saying it that I think I have a bias for the track that says, I receive the version of me that heaven is releasing. It's important that you see the version of you that heaven is releasing. It's important that you agree with God for the version of you that he's releasing. It's important that you become comfortable with the version of you that God is releasing. And I hope this has helped you. If you have any question whatsoever, do not hesitate to go to www.ministerliza.xyz and ask your question, maybe by email or go to Instagram and Twitter at Minister Liza. I promise you, I will attend to your question, maybe as a podcast or an Instagram live. I will attend to your question until Friday. Okay, podcast is Friday. Until next week, Thursday, when we'll have the Instagram live, yeah? Bye.